Grace to you and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Okay, I have a quick question for you. Now that we're living in a sort of post-pandemic culture, how many of you have finally hugged those extended family members again? Yeah, that's what I thought. Right. The biggest example is probably grandparents and grandkids. Right? You were missing those hugs. And I remember when we finally got to see my parents again, when it was safe to do so. Although they gave both Rachel and me big hugs, they didn't want to let go of Rose. Right? There's something incredible about being able to hug somebody again. Especially when you couldn't do it for the longest time. I mean, the importance of loving touch is just basic evolutionary biology. We need physical touch to help us grow. And even before the pandemic, people who didn't get that kind of touch were called touch starved. Right? Just like being food starved, you wanted it, but you couldn't get it. Well, one reason why those hugs feel so good is because it helps your brain release oxytocin, which is better known as the cuddle chemical. It's what helps us build emotional attachments to people. But touch isn't just about releasing those happy chemicals into your system again. It's also about being part of a community again. Like if you were in quarantine at all this past year, you know how cut off you feel when you can't be touched. Right, I still remember when I had COVID back in December. I spent those 2 weeks living in our home office. I slept on the air mattress in there. I ate my meals in there. I did my work in there. And even though I knew Rachel and Rose were in the house somewhere, I couldn't be with them. Right, I had to stay away. It was not fun. Right, I felt cut off. So now imagine that you had touch starvation, not just for 2 weeks of quarantine, and not just for a year of the pandemic, but for most of your life. That would certainly take its toll on you. You would feel like being cut off from people was just a permanent condition for you. Well, in our gospel reading today, we hear about two people who are this way. First, there's a 12-year-old girl who's died. Then there's an older woman who's been hemorrhaging for 12 years. And yes, it's no coincidence that they both have the number 12. Right? These two scenes are meant to be read together. Both of these people have extreme touch starvation. And both of them connect to our lives. So let's start with the young girl. Her father, Jairus, is a powerful man. He's one of the leaders there in the synagogue. So odds are pretty good that people knew who he was. Which also means they probably knew that his daughter was sick. Right? Call it rumors or gossip or news, whatever you want. This kind of thing spreads. People find out. Well, on this particular day, Jairus knew that Jesus was in town. And ignoring all sense of decorum, he threw himself at Jesus' feet and begged him repeatedly to help. So imagine Jairus there down on his knees, pulling on Jesus' clothes like some toddler begging for attention. Right? He was clearly making a scene, and people would have noticed. This is not how a respectable member of society was supposed to behave. Now, but at this point, Jairus obviously didn't care. And notice what he asked of Jesus. Not just that Jesus heal his daughter, but that he come and lay hands on her. Come and touch her. So imagine you're this girl. You are 12 years old, and you are done. Today, you would be in the sixth grade and on your deathbed. Very few people want to get close to death. And even fewer want to be around a kid who's dying. So you probably don't have many visitors. Yes, people have heard about what's happening to you, but they keep their distance because it makes them uncomfortable. Your dad is one of the few people who sees how you're suffering. He knows how touch-starved you are. So he begs Jesus to do something. And Jesus agrees to come. Well, on the way to Jairus' house, of course, a woman pushes her way through the crowd. She demands a touch too. But not a touch by Jesus, but rather a touch of Jesus. She wants to touch him. Now, unlike Jairus, we aren't told this woman's name or her place in society. So maybe the people in the crowd knew her, or maybe they didn't. Maybe they knew about her condition, or maybe not. Whatever the case was, her condition would have made all of the people she bumped into that day ritually unclean. Like Jairus throwing himself down at Jesus' feet, this woman didn't care what her actions looked like. She was so touch-starved that she would do anything to get fed. But unlike Jairus, she didn't make a scene about it. She simply maneuvered her way through the crowd, reached out to Jesus, touched his clothes, and her bleeding stopped. Now imagine you're this woman. You have what is today known as a pre-existing condition. You have seen so many different doctors that you've lost track. You have learned the ins and outs of insurance and what they'll cover and what they won't. You also know that your time of the month lasts all month, every month. And you know people don't want to be around. But you are determined to reach out to Jesus. So you push your way through the crowd that day, lightly grab the edge of his clothes, and you feel your bleeding finally stop. You're thrilled. But then, Jesus sensed that the power went out of him and asked, "Who touched me?" I imagine the woman probably froze. What should she do? While the disciples were telling Jesus that there's a big crowd crammed around him, this woman decides to come forward and admit what she did. She came in fear and trembling and told him the whole truth. Well, by admitting the whole truth, she also confessed to her condition, which means the whole crowd heard her, which then probably made all of them feel infected and unclean by her, because now they knew she was unclean. They probably backed away from her and kept their distance, like wanting to stay away from Jairus' girl. But Jesus said, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." Imagine hearing those words. Not only did this woman's bleeding stop, but Jesus had called her daughter. Just like how the young girl was Jairus' daughter, Jesus gave her a new identity. Now she was no longer known by her bleeding, but rather as a beloved daughter. She was restored to her place in society. No matter what the other people in the crowd might have thought about her, Jesus reminded her that she was loved. and that she belonged. Even though she was the one who reached out and touched Jesus' clothes, this is where Jesus' words touched her. Well, as for Jairus' daughter, a messenger came and said that she had already died. So they didn't need to bother Jesus anymore. They thought Jesus was too late. So now imagine you're Jairus. You had finally gotten Jesus to come to your house, but this other woman interrupted. Had she not gotten in the way, perhaps Jesus would have made it to your house on time. Maybe if Jesus hadn't been so busy with her, he could have helped your daughter like he said he would. But then, Jesus said, "Do not be afraid." Just like we heard last week about the storm at sea, do not be afraid. Jesus is still in control. Jesus went into the house with the girl's parents, took her by the hand, notice the touch, and told her to get up. And she did. Jesus restored her to life and to her place in society. Imagine how Jairus felt after that. Right? Touch is a powerful thing. And it's especially powerful when it's a touch from Jesus. Sometimes the people who need that touch are people we know, like Jairus asking for his daughter. And sometimes it's us, like the woman asking for help for herself. Sometimes people in powerful families get sick, and sometimes everyday people get sick. Sometimes news spreads about our condition, and sometimes people have no idea. Sometimes someone makes a scene about how they need help. Sometimes people are quiet about it. But in both of those cases, Jesus' touch still brings healing and restoration. And that's fantastic. But so what? All right, I said these two stories connect to our lives, but we know plenty of people, ourselves included, who have experienced disease and death, and there was no healing. So what then? What do we do with these stories then? They sound great for this woman and this girl, but what about us? Well, perhaps the first thing we do is remember that there's a difference between a cure and a healing. Cure means that your physical ailment is gone. Healing means that you are restored to community and your place in society. So you can be healed even if you're not cured. Or think about it as the difference between mortality and death. Right? All of us are mortal. Even Jairus' daughter and the woman in the crowd. Both of them died eventually. Jesus did not make them immortal. He does not make us immortal. Jesus does not eliminate all of the suffering and pain and hardships in life. So does that mean that what Jesus did here doesn't matter? No, of course not. It matters a great deal. Because Jesus is the one who brings life out of death. In other words, when we think we've reached the end of our rope, the end of our options, the end of what we know, Jesus promises us a new chapter to the story. We may be mortal, but death is not the end. Like the little girl was dead, physically and socially, but Jesus restored her. The woman in the crowd was treated as if she were dead, and Jesus restored her too. And he did both through a healing touch. So think of a time in your life when a touch restored you or made you feel like you were healed, even if your physical ailment didn't go away. Perhaps it was when you finally got those hugs after waiting a year. Maybe it was when you finally came out of quarantine. Maybe it was when we dropped the mask requirement here and you could actually shake somebody's hand for the sharing of the peace. Whatever it was, you were connected again. Even now, whatever is troubling you, no matter how others try to keep their distance from you, no matter how you are touch-starved, Jesus comes to you. He touches you. And he says that you are loved. And you belong. You are still connected to Jesus. And that matters. And so now, as we move out of social distancing, we remember that not only does Jesus restore us, but he also restores others through us. Right? Like, you might have been the recipient of that long-awaited hug, but you were also the giver of that hug, too. That means Jesus can heal others through you as well. And it's not just about helping that person's brain release oxytocin again. It's more about reminding them that they still belong, that they are included, that they are loved, even though they are still mortal. So whether it's finally hugging those family members again, or holding the hand of someone who's grieving, or bandaging the wound of someone who's injured, loving touch changes lives, especially a touch from Jesus. Jairus knew that. His daughter knew that. The woman in the crowd knew that. And now we know that. Jesus has connected us to himself and to each other. That's good news. In the name of the one who restores us to community, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.